America Meditating Radio Show, we collect wisdom, inspire each other, and empower hearts 24/7. Hi, I'm Sister Jenna. Join me and guests on Blog Talk Radio as we amplify stories that compel us to be more for ourselves and everyone else around us.
Safely is just a click away. Find the right seat for your little one's age and size. Visit safercar.gov/the right seat for more information. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Are you in need of a tech service company that's going to deliver the best solutions for your business? Then Actronica is your solutions headquarters. Here we specialize in your individual needs to make sure your business shines. For more information, please call 301-417-0070 or visit us at our website at actronica.net. Actronica, where we deliver for you.
Hey everybody, it's John Duperin from Project Forgive. How are you doing? You are in the right place for the highest level of conversation to feed your soul. American Meditating with Sister Jenna. Stay with us.
Take a break. Breathe. Why don't you visit the Peace Village Learning and Retreat Center, 518-589-5000.
If I had one wish,
Hello and welcome to America Meditating Radio. I'm your host, Sister Jenna. We're broadcasting from the beautiful Meditation Museum in the nation's capital, and I can't begin to tell you how incredibly empowering and enriching it is to have two meditation museums in this particular area of the land where so many policies and rules are being governed to shift the world. So imagine that we're beginning to shift consciousness and opening up the conversation, the relationship, the awakening of really bringing us to a place of who am I, what am I, what type of soul am I, and the importance of moving our story upward and forward. I hope today's show finds you in a good spirit, in a really powerful state of mind. One of our most beautiful students came by today and we had this one-to-one meeting. You know, they got this incredible job in Philly. Keep in mind that they're one of my right arms and sort of like you can't do anything without them because they keep everything going. And so with that being said, you know, you've got incredible folks on your staff and team, and then an opportunity comes that is going to fill a hole that maybe you couldn't fill, you know, things that were really important. And it's just that quality of meeting with respect and with love and care and saying, what's more beneficial for your life and then the company later? What's going to be good for you and your family? And then the company will strive anyway because it does that good deed for its own people. And I want to stress this because a lot of times we make decisions which is based on something that we just want, independent of the other person's voice, opinion, feeling, or idea. And today was a very beautiful experience, my friends, where I really wanted to focus on what was good for them and know that at some point in time, we are going to be okay. The company will fall in place and all will be well. Stay tuned. We're going to have Candice Vandell, and Candice is going to be having a heart-to-heart chit-chat with me about all the incredible things that she's doing in her life. And I believe you must have loved hearing If I Had One Wish by Lucinda Drayton on her Bliss CD. And before I go to Candice, I want to do what we do best here on the America Meditating Radio. That is to take you into a place of reflection, into a place of your being, to let go of your attachments and illusions and to emerge the power of love in your system. Take this time, breathe in deeply. Om Shanti. The time that we choose to be aware doesn't necessarily require me to just sit and meditate. But even while I walk and move around, I can be in a meditative awareness, which is awareness of the soul, the original, eternal, imperishable being of light. For a little while, I'd like to invite you to be present, to be here, and to be now. Allow your mind to settle in the moment, to relax. This meditation is about awareness. It's about becoming aware of your original and eternal self. About connecting to your truth. Let go of your name. And observe yourself. Let go of your gender to discontinue thinking you're a man or a woman. Let it go and observe how you would feel walking around without a gender. Let go of the role that you play and let go of the titles that you own. Observe how you're feeling as you are gradually letting go. Let go of your religion and put it aside just for now. And let go of your nationality and even the language that you're accustomed to. Imagine you have no name, gender, role, title, religion, nationality, or even a language. Ask yourself, how do you feel at this moment? And in this feeling, who would think of you, and who would you think of? The Supreme Soul would think of you, and you, the liberated soul, would think of the Supreme. In this state of absolute freedom, I am truly who I am. A free, peaceful, pure, immortal, eternal soul. Allow yourself to just be absorbed in this awareness. At this time, welcome back, everyone. That was Letting Go from my Off the Grid Into the Heart meditation CD. Hope that took you into the zone and elevated your consciousness. We're very happy to welcome Candace Vandell. You know, after spending nearly 20 years in the fashion and entertainment industry, Candace has a profound understanding of the high standards and ideals, perfectionism, and extreme levels of pressure in this world today. She grew up energetically sensitive and intuitive, and in 2011, she had an intense longing and calling to deepen her spiritual and self-development studies. She settled in Los Angeles and earned a master's degree in spiritual psychology at the University of Santa Monica. Candace is now a certified yoga instructor, meditation teacher, Reiki therapist, and serves as a spiritual life coach, working with diverse range of clients, including models, actors, business leaders, students, and teachers from all over the world. And she does it even via Skype. She's also a contributor to the Huffington Post and is writing her first book about the great misunderstanding of the spiritual kids today, often labeled, can you believe this, with ADHD. Today, we're happy to welcome Candace Vandell to the America Meditating Radio. Hi, my dear.
Hello. So nice to meet you.
Same here. It's nice to hear when individuals are in an industry that tends to focus a lot on the outer world. Somebody's saying, okay, I get your outer beauty and extension is important, but right now for the world to be sustained and for our own lives to be sustained, I'm being called to focus on what's going on the inside. How did that begin for you?
You know, it's really interesting because it started for me before I even started modeling, where I realized I was here for sort of a spiritual purpose, but I didn't know at such a young age how that would look. So in high school, I really wanted to be a spiritual psychologist, and as far as I knew, it didn't exist. So instead, I just took what was easy for me, and I started traveling and modeling the whole time thinking, take this in because you're getting an education for something else. I've been doing it for over 15 years, it finally got to the point where it just felt like I wasn't doing my soul's purpose. It was fun, and it was, I'm sure, inspiring for some people that I grew up with to watch me do it, but I just had a calling, nope, it's time to do your work. And it felt like a deep longing, like this isn't it anymore. You've got to stop doing this.
And that's what happened, right? You just knew that that wasn't serving you anymore. But you see, and that's one of the things, Candace, that a lot of folks hear that. It keeps knocking on the door of their mind very often, but very few find the courage to let go. What was it that made you hear the calling and then say, I'm going to follow that?
To be honest with you, it felt like I didn't have a choice. It was that big. And I started expanding in a way where I would just see people around me in the business, the effects it was having on other people in sort of a negative way a lot of the time. A lot of the girls that I worked with were suffering from, you know, almost a misinterpretation of identity. And that was a big calling for me, too, was the true self. The true self kept speaking to me deeply. And I saw that it's not even about me. It's about so many other people. So it was easier for me to do it knowing it wasn't for me. It was for such a bigger purpose that I needed to shift this.
Beautiful. I like that. You know, you recently published a blog on the Huffington Post, which consisted of excerpts from your upcoming book, Indigo, I, the Know. Now, it will provide a new spiritual perspective on children and the attention deficit hyperactivity disorder that you hear so much about. Sometimes I wonder, when I was a child, did I even have that? Because now it's become such a big conversation that I wonder, why is it now such a big story and why is it that it's so easy for doctors or parents to just say, my child has ADHD? Like, what is that all about, Candace?
Gosh, it's a big conversation, but I'll try to clip out a little bit. It's my personal story. That's why I wrote the book. When I was 7 years old, my mother was a school teacher, so it's kind of perfect. And I was diagnosed with ADHD because a lot of these kids, like me, have a genius IQ and are very overly, extremely, energetically, physically, emotionally sensitive, but cannot and do not want to do things the way that they're structured to do in our current paradigm, our current system. So, for instance, we may get the same answer to a math problem but do it completely differently, and that's called disorder. We may overreact emotionally if we're feeling things much larger than most people, and that's called a disorder. So a lot of these kids are coming forward now because of the paradigm shift that happened in 2012, and it started shifting in 1978 is when a lot of us started coming forward, and now even more. And so it's become such a big conversation because the number is increasing at a rapid pace. And in my book, I describe from a spiritual perspective why, and really that's because we're here to shift the way that things currently are. We're here to really be the kids of the new paradigm. But we can't do our work when we're being medicated and repressed and depressed from our purpose by saying there's something wrong with you. Instead, we need to start seeing these kids as just really sensitive because they have a message for us, a message of love, unity, of unconditional love, and connection. What I find in these kids, because I coach most of them, are ADHD or indigos, is they're looking for this deep connection to God. They're so sensitive. Without that, it's hard to function. They look for it within themselves. They look for it within their parents and their peers. So they're looking for God within people. And in our society, we're not taught how to be godly or survive. So when we're looking for God in our world, these kids are getting freaked out and fear-based and acting out. It's a complicated thing.
It is. So what's the role of God in all of this? Is it that we're looking at the peace that we feel is a connection to God, and is it that we are trying to bring the experience of peace to our kids today? But if we don't have that, how do we bring it?
Good question. I focus on meditation. I always tell the parents of the kids that I coach, it's meditation over medication, because you can give them, there's many studies with transcendental meditation now in school where they give ADHD kids TM practices for 3 months and their grades go from D's to A's. And what I know about that is, they say something changes in the brain, that's fine. But from an emotional standpoint, you're getting the connection. So it's almost like you can feel safe again within yourself And I like to teach a lot of tools of self-healing. When you feel it, you heal it. So instead of acting out from these extreme sensitive feelings these kids are having, I teach them to really feel them and heal them. So instead of, you know, oh, Johnny's acting bad, go from the quarter, it's why is he acting that way? What is the feeling behind it? And really just becoming more intimate with our kids, with ourselves, and more real.
Mm-hmm. What is missing from our educational system? You know, for example, what is actually the root cause of the majority of the behavioral problems which we're seeing today in the classrooms and also in our own homes? And what would you suggest apart from meditation that can be done? Because one of the things that I have observed, unfortunately, and it's strange, that in our own educational system, they would think that meditation is under the genre of religion, and it's not. Mm. It's around before religion even started. So it's kind of like, what are you teaching if you're not even taking souls or kids to the root of even real knowledge? So give us some ideas that our listeners could at least, you know, take away with if we were to think about, you know, how could we actually bring some sort of healing to this particular area?
Mm-hmm. I love that. That is so true. I really know that in school, having a mother that was a master's in education, I remember just having so many arguments about it, because in our school system today, there's one way of learning. They're teaching one way. There's no diversity. If you can see how there are literally seven different learning languages, so obviously there are going to be a lot of kids that learn differently and they feel freaked out because they're not relating to these things and they're just getting pushed aside. They can start at home with really seeing how your kid learns. Are they a visual learner? Are they a kinetic learner? What kind of learner are they? And really giving them that one-on-one attention at home would be fantastic. Then when they get to school, we can't change school system one by one, but we're trying. You can see how, okay, you can learn the way that you learn in school, come home, and mom or dad will try to fix that for you. I mean, that's what's happening a lot with homeschooling being huge nowadays as well. Is the school system is not recognizing diversity in learning, but also there is not a universal spiritual perspective. Like you said, there's no grassroots learning. They're not learning about who they truly are. They're learning a system, which isn't really natural to a lot of kids. And that system is what a lot of these, I call indigo children or awakened kids, come here to kind of bust down because it's just simply not working anymore.
Mm-hmm. One-on-one is really important. I agree with that. And as you're going further in explaining to us, could you clarify for some of our listeners who might be learning to what is an indigo child and how do we recognize them and what are some of the ways that we could help them to move through the school system a little bit more easier? Because they're very different.
Very different. Well, an indigo, the reason it's called indigo child, This I did not create this. This was created a long time ago, but they're called indigo because the color of your aura is indigo, which is your third eye. So it means your intuitive abilities, your empathy, your oversensitivity is wide open. So the color of your aura is mainly indigo. If you're an indigo child, it sounds woo-woo, but it all makes sense when you put it together. And these traits are very similar to ADHD. You can say, sure, a lot of indigos have ADHD, but what is ADHD? It's attention deficit hyperactive disorder. I like to say it's attention dialed to a higher dimension. These kids are just different. Their behavior is different. They're a little quirky. They're very connected to their own truth, so they're very strong-willed. They can be combative. They can have rage. They can also have extreme intuitive abilities and spiritual experiences that they can't explain. A lot of them have, you know, nightmares and things because they're just sensing and seeing things that we don't see a lot of times. But in school, they have a major issue with authority that isn't speaking truth to them. So if someone isn't respecting them, I don't care how old they are, they have this innate ability to go against it. They are demanding respect. They demand equality. They demand these things that they're not, a lot of times, mature enough to know how to get in a way that will work. So they kind of fight as little spiritual warriors. They fight for what they know they need. If they have a home that is not balanced, they will freak out about it because they're feeling everyone's emotions and it looks like they're the troubled child. But really, they're just there trying to maintain some kind of emotional structure and it's not working because it's not there. So they appear to be much different in the way that they act the way that they feel. A lot of them have a lot of food allergies. I used to have a lot of physical sensitivities. I couldn't, clothing, if it wasn't comfortable, I couldn't wear it. Things like this where you can feel and sense everything much, much more.
Right. It's so special. I call them older souls, you know, so they're carrying
Absolutely.
A lot more stories inside of them. And without a lot of folks knowing, there's an understanding in their deepest subconscious, been there, done that. And they're looking for some very deep sense of truth and purpose to exist.
Yes.
And whether they come into a karmic family, which they're like totally off or on the superficial bend, then that's just their karmic story. But they'll keep turning their family or friends back to something many meaningful. And I find them to be such a contribution to our humanity.
Beautiful. That's a good point, actually, because 99% of the Coach Indigo adults as well, because a lot of them don't hear this until they see me for the first time, and then it's like this aha moment of, oh my gosh, my whole life makes sense, that's me. Just having that kind of connection and understanding is huge for them, but a lot of these people come from families that they don't feel they belong to, and they're the different ones. They're the one that's the way shower, they're creating the change, but they don't really get that authority in their family because they've caused a lot of turmoil growing up.
Right.
So it is kind of being the different one, but that difference is beautiful, and that's what we need to start recognizing.
Beautiful, beautiful. Now, you've been talking about ideal and real. That we are perhaps maybe going back and forth in these two different state of consciousness. Is our real state when we come from our place of godliness or divinity, or is it just when on the surface level everything seems to be working out fine? I mean, I don't have an issue. I have the perfect husband, perfect child, perfect home, perfect society. Isn't that also real?
That is an awesome question. Yes, it's all real. But really what I mean by ideal versus real is I see so many people stuck in a state of identity that goes along with, well, my life is great because I do have the perfect husband and the perfect house and this and that. And when one of those things leaves, so does their sense of self. So I think it's very to have your identity based on anything other than your true self, which means love, which means authenticity. My true self may look crazy one day because I'm processing emotion, but it's very important to be real about that. I'm going through this. This is what's happening. Not to own it as, oh, this is who I am, but to own it as this part of what I'm going through. A lot of people these days, especially in my industry of modeling and acting, they are very much freaked out about this identity that they have to continue that isn't true to them.
Exactly.
Nobody's perfect at all times, you know. And really seeing how things are changing in this universe at the moment where people are really welcoming true self. There's a lot of transgender, there's a lot of ADD, OCD, autistic, all these things coming up in big amounts right now that we can really shift as a society into real, what is real, rather than this perfectionistic ideal that is not true. It really isn't true. Everyone's got a story and everyone has emotions. So I really encourage my watchers, my clients, my followers to really be who you truly are. That's how you heal, by being real.
And I think it's needed now more than ever, Candace, because it's whether we want to accept it or not, the illusions are no longer able to hold itself up. We're not feeling happy in our relationships. We're not even feeling as happy in the bodies that we have. Regardless of how beautiful they are, we're still trying to tuck it, tweak it, fix it, mend it, break it, make, you know, and so it keeps taking all of us back to, is it a soul issue? Are we as souls actually searching to rekindle the original sense of self and worthiness of our being? And if that is the case, is there a link such as, you know, you plug your iPhone or your smartphone into the wall with the charger because you know it needs juice, right? So if our souls are losing energy, how do we plug in the soul to get that energy so we can function at a level of realness?
That's amazing. What I do and what I've discovered is literally the way to live is a daily spiritual practice. What that means is taking care of my real needs, not my ideal needs. Instead of saying I have to go to the gym 5 days a week so I'm perfect, so I don't have to worry about blah, blah, blah. I say I have to go 2 days, so that's better for my body. I'm really learning to honor ourselves as we are rather than as we think society needs us to be or how we need to be to get love. It's about self-love. It's about filling ourselves with that thing that we all have. And when we start doing that, we start honoring ourselves as we truly are, we notice this wisdom inside that opens up to guide us further into that. It's really about trusting your inner guidance, but you can't get in touch with it unless you're extremely honest about it. That's why I think real versus ideal is the first step in really finding our true self.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Beautiful. Well said. You say that we must become unconditional with our emotions, but yet many are still struggling with self-doubt and self-esteem issues. Leave us with one or two steps that our listeners can move out of the self-doubt and come more in a place of self-realization. My friend Michael Beckwith said a while back from the Agape movement, and he said, if you ever have self-doubt, you must accept you're in hell. And I thought
it was so powerful
because you're the one that's going to have to get you to the next destination. And if you can't trust or believe or feel you, how are you going to get there?
I love Michael Beckwith and I love that quote. And I will just say from personal experience, what has transformed my entire life is by loving the doubt back to truth. I suffered from self-doubt so much in my life because I had all these wisdoms about things, but didn't know how to confirm them or live them, and I just started owning them. I just started saying, okay, you know what? There's part of myself that has doubt. I'll love the doubt. Love is more powerful than any fear. We have to choose it. And so I would sit with myself and feel these doubts and feel these insecurities and whatever it was coming up, and I would love it anyway. And eventually what happened was unconditional love for myself. Whatever came up, I love that too. That is a state of non-resistance. That is a state of allowing the universe to flow through us. He's not blocking it. So yes, he's right. You are in hell when you're in self-doubt because you're doubting your very existence as a soul. But that's okay too. Because if we resist that feeling, we're creating more of it. And if we love that doubt, it cannot exist. That's what I've experienced, and that's what I share with the people that coach with.
No, it's true, exactly, because you have to leave some percentage of yourself there for you to bank on. And as much as we have been there to help everyone, right, haven't you always acknowledged and realized still the person has to step up and do their work?
It's got to be self-healing, because why would the universe set it up that you need someone else to heal yourself and you're not fully empowered? The universe has set it up where you're looking everywhere, but really you need to look within, because once you do, you realize exactly what you are.
There you go. Beautiful. Well said. Candace, it's been great having you on the air today. Leave us with a website or any upcoming events that you might be participating in, and please let me know how you would change the world if you could.
How would I change the world? I would like everyone to know that we are a reflection of each other. And if you want everyone to love you, you better love yourself.
Beautiful.
That's what I would do.
Beautiful.
Find me at CandaceSandell.com. I also have a YouTube channel, and I'm very active on social media, all under my name. So it's very simple.
Beautiful. Beautiful. Thank you so much. We love you. Thank you.
Thank you so much for having me. What a pleasure.
Same here. If you're ever in the nation's capital in D.C., please come and offer your gifts at the Meditation Museum. We'd love to host you.
Oh, I would love to. Thank you so much for that.
All right. Take good care. All the best.
Thank you. You too.
So we hear it from the experts. It's time for us to love ourselves. If we don't, please do not go running into a relationship expecting that person to do it for you. It's time for us to step up, step in, and become what we can become. Candace has shared with us the deep need. You can be in an industry that is so external, so perhaps superficial, but still you're called. If you're listening on the inside, you just might be able to shift the story. And there might be a lot of people there who actually want to do the same but might not have the courage, and you could be the one that gives them the strength to move out of that. Thank you for listening to us on America Meditating Radio today. Remember, no one can take away your happiness unless you give them permission. And we are here to love each other the same, right? So we should, right? Good. Look, please go to Huffington Post and feel free to travel with me on my journey of articles that come up at 3, 4 o'clock in the morning. Join us for this conversation as we keep growing together and bringing more light in the world. And speaking of light, I'm going to end today's show with Come Into the Light by Bliss. Take care, my friends. All the very best. Peace.
do when a gentle hand reaches out.